If you have your Bibles with you today, I encourage you to turn to a passage from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 40. There aren't a lot of stories about the days after the birth of Jesus, but this is certainly one of them. When Jesus was just 8 years old, his family took him to the temple for his dedication. And we read these words beginning in verse 21 through 40. I want to tell you that I am going to be focusing on 25 through 35 today. But let's read them all. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, and according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. Boy, Jesus really was, wasn't he? And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and this will be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to whom everyone was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this passage that reminds us that the Christmas story is not over. There's still much to be considered. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us and keep us, and may these words be your words. And I pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. So I'd like to start our sermon this morning with a question. Here's my question. Are you good at waiting? Choir, are you good at waiting?
No.
I mean, Christmas really is the test, isn't it? I mean, it seems like so long to get ready for Christmas, and then it comes and it goes. It seems to me that it is days between Christmas Eve when you go to bed and Christmas morning when you wake up. Let me ask you, are you good at waiting? I did a little research this week, and I discovered some statistics on waiting and what we wait for. On the average, us Americans in our lifetime will wait 5 years in a line. 5 years in a line. 2 years returning phone calls, or I might say now, text messages. 8 months reading junk mail. How about this? 6 months stopped at a traffic signal. I spend a lot of time on 6th Street and 62 waiting on that traffic signal. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I mean, at least twice a day, I do that. It's been estimated that the average time to wait and see a doctor or a dentist is about 30 minutes. I'll have to say that's not been my experience here. I just want to say that. Has anyone ever taken a number in the Department of Motor Vehicles? Have you ever waited in line for that? I read that the family members often wait on the average 20 minutes for someone else to get ready to go wherever you're going. 20 minutes. I remember when I was a kid, the car left at a certain time to go to church, and if you weren't in it, well, you were in it. You may not be dressed, but you were in it. Someone estimated, and I think this is low number, that we spend 13 hours of our lifetime on hold for customer service. I don't know. That seems low. Are you good at waiting?
No.
Are you good at waiting? Some of us are good at waiting and some aren't. The question isn't, will we wait? The question is, how will we wait? What will we do while we're waiting? Hopefully we'll do more than just scroll. We will do something else while we're waiting. Some of us this morning might be waiting for something. Maybe this morning we're waiting for a test result or news about that job interview. Some of us have been waiting for the kids to come home for Christmas. Annie, Grace, and Garrett just got here last night, right? Some of you might be saying, I'm waiting for my kids to go back home. I don't know. I don't know. Our Bibles, of course, have something to say about waiting. I looked it up. My Bible uses the word wait or waiting 186 times. That's a lot. The word isn't used, but the image and the concept is there when the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God, from the 46th Psalm. The 27th Psalm says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. I think Tom Petty's right. Waiting is the hardest part, right? There's a minor character in the Christmas story, not an innkeeper, not an angel, not a shepherd or a wise man, but a man named Simeon. Simeon, we don't know a lot about him. What we do know is that the Bible says that he was righteous and devout, and that he was waiting for the peace of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit also revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. The Bible says that on a particular day, he was moved by the Holy Spirit and went to the temple courts. Simeon, you might say, had become an expert in waiting. Some say Simeon was 200 years old. And some say that no one had heard from the Lord in 400 years, and we're about to. What I want to do this morning, if it's all right with you, is to lift up three things about waiting that we learn from Simeon that I think can be helpful. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that all right?
You bet.
Here's the first. Simeon waited with a purpose in mind. His purpose in mind was to see the Messiah. Here's how I imagine that it happened. He went to the temple court as the Spirit prodded him to do, and he was looking for the Lord's Messiah. Here's the thing. He didn't know what the Lord's Messiah choir would look like.
Yes.
He didn't know if he'd be old or if he'd be young, and so he looked in the eyes of everyone who came up to the temple court that day on their way into the temple. Babies were coming, too, to be presented to the Lord. Jesus, of course, was one of those babies. Here's how I imagine that it happened. Simeon saw Mary and Joseph, and he said, may I hold your baby? Now, Capra and Dustin, if some stranger came up to you and said, may I hold your baby, you probably wouldn't do that. You might be more likely to do that at the church, but that's kind of what happened. And so Mary is, I think, she's a little afraid of it, right? And so she looks to Joseph, and I think he nods his head, and Simeon holds the baby. And he pulls back the blanket, and he sees Jesus. It's what he had been waiting his whole life to see. Amen? Amen. To see the Lord's Messiah. Here's the first thing I want you to know. His waiting had a purpose. Here's something else I learned from Simeon this week. His waiting, he had to be patient in his waiting. Anybody good at that? Being patient? Years ago, my father had a medical emergency. He had an aneurysm in his lower leg in the popliteal artery. It was an emergency. He had to have surgery. They bypassed the aneurysm. They had to go back in and bypass the bypass, and Dad's health was much at question at that time. They had one day scheduled. Dr. Curry came in and said, we're going to need to amputate your dad's leg from the knee down. And we were ready for that. And Daddy was ready for that. He wasn't excited about it. But that day, Dad was scheduled for surgery at 7 in the morning. And because of an emergency after emergency after emergency, they didn't start surgery until 5 in the afternoon. Now, I used to get aggravated at stuff like that. But this day I didn't, because Dr. Curry came out. He had been gone less than 5 minutes, and I knew it wasn't a major surgery, but I knew it took more than 5 minutes. And he said to me, I felt your dad's leg this morning, and it was cold. I feel it this afternoon, and it's a little warmer. I'm going to wait. The end of the story is that my dad lost two little piggies and not his leg. And he got his mobility back. And I sometimes tell that story when I'm sitting with families who are having to wait a long time. Simeon waited with patience. And finally, here's the third thing. Simeon waited with a purpose. And patiently, he also waited with power. Luke writes this biblical line, the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Spirit led him to the temple. Simeon's time of waiting was almost over. In the Bible, there are two words for time. One is chronos, which we get calendar, which we get clock, where 1 second is just like the other. A minute leads to one time and to another. Chronos makes you wonder right now, how much longer is this guy going to preach? Right? There's chronos time. And then there's kairos time. That's expectant time. Capra, that's the time that you had about this time last year, waiting for Harper to be born. It's the time that kids have on Christmas morning, expecting something exciting to happen. In the Bible, we talk more about that kind of time. In our baptism liturgy this morning, we say these words, in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. Now, Zach, I know you're technically my boss. Sometimes I change those words just a little bit. And I say, in the fullness of time, that is when the time was exactly right. God sent Jesus. 10,000 Roman soldiers had built roads. Roads that Jesus walked and roads that some people still walk to this day. For him to get to one place to another, it was the perfect kind of time. In God's time, Christ was born, and Simeon waited a lifetime for it. And Mary and Joseph made their way to the temple, and Simeon sang his song. God's timing is perfect. Amen. Isaiah may be on to something when he writes, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Our time of waiting is over. Amen? Emmanuel means God is with us. He's here today.